Good to see you. Coming all the way from Hawaii is the farthest, but I see we got Ohio here and Georgia. So, man, what a blessing. It's like an international. If we had Iowa here, it'd be completely international. And so, glad that you're here this morning. Wonderful time to see you. Take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3. We don't usually go into Malachi when we're looking at Scripture, do we? We look at those Old Testament prophets, and we figure they're old and they should stay old instead of refreshing our minds to them. And this morning, though, looking at Malachi, it is tomorrow is often called Remembrance Day, but we call it Memorial Day. It is a time to consider those who have lost their lives in the military in particular, but it's also a time that a lot of people take just as to remember their own loved ones, whether or not they're in the military. And it's time to remember. Now, I gave you a good example of what happens sometimes when you don't remember. When you don't remember how you put the ladder up and don't look down to remind yourself, you step down the wrong side. Well, sometimes we take time, we remember things, we don't remember things. We've got things that we wish we could forget. We might remember things that as a child we used to do and tell our kids what we used to do and encourage them and help them see some of the fun things that we did. Or we might tell them about what life really was like. I saw a post on Facebook that says, My 4-year-old won't know the hardships of being a child, or will know the hardships of being a child. I mean, really, there is when they grow up, their kids probably won't know what it means to not have a cell phone at the age of 4, or what it means to not be able to get a Wi-Fi connection somewhere. When you get down a few years later here, we can remember all kinds of things the way that they used to be, things that maybe we didn't like that happened to us, maybe some things that we really appreciated. God, though, he's kind of like an elephant, or even better, he doesn't forget. There are some things he forgets. He forgets sin. He knows about it, but because of Christ, because of the blood of Christ, he overlooks it. It's been paid for. But there are things that happen in our life that God doesn't forget. You can see this all through the Old Testament in the way that God remembers his children. And what I find interesting here is that God has a book to remember things. Now, I have to remember things by putting them down. And I forgot to write down, in fact, I forgot to write down this morning, for note for myself. Play video to begin with. So we have to wait till next week to do it. Video on camp, an update on camp. I forgot. That's why a lot of times I have to write something down. And you know what the hard trouble about writing something down is? Remembering where you wrote it down. Or remembering, after you find the note, why you wrote that note. If you ever wrote down a phone number, and after a while you find that phone number, and you say, now, who is this, and why do I have their phone number written down? And you don't want to embarrass yourself by calling them up and asking them why you have their phone number written down. God doesn't work that way. God, he remembers, but he even puts it in writing. And we find that here in Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." We find here that God remembers. It's the same kind of way that he remembers Israel and Judah and his promises to David and to Abraham. It's the same way that he remembers sending Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin, so that when we put our trust in him, he remembers that our sins have been forgiven. And this tomorrow being a day of remembrance, remember that God has a book for remembering. And in this book, we might ask the question, who is in this book? Well, he mentions there in verse 16. He mentions there that there are those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. It's those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. What does that mean, though? Well, what does it mean to fear God? If you're thinking that I should be afraid of him, you're thinking correctly. That's what fear is. Fear is trembling. It's being afraid of something. And some sense of the way that we should fear God is that way. However, the word has a little broader and greater meaning. You might even say a deeper meaning, not meaning a hidden meaning or some secret meaning. But as you look at the scriptures and see how the Hebrew word is used, you see that it has the idea of not simply fear, but of reverence, by which an individual recognizes the power and position of the individual who they are revering, and they give him the proper respect. The way that we see God ought to be one out of complete respect. You probably have people in your life that you have you're intimidated by. You're intimidated by them. You have a little bit of a fear even. It might be an employer. Somebody that is at work that because of their position, you have a different kind of respect for them. It might be somebody that you know. Somebody who, maybe because of their size or the way they look, that you say, you know, I don't know that I would really want to mess with them in a dark alley. It might be a good friend to you. You might be wonderful friends. But there's still a sense where, you know, you feel maybe a little intimidated by them. And you seem to treat them with a little different respect. If you go and, guys or ladies, if you go dressed up real nice into a public place, you might notice that you're addressed differently, not just dressed differently, addressed differently as sir or ma'am many times, or sometimes depending on where you are in our country or the culture that's around you, where there's a certain respect that's given. And that's who God looks upon and says, those I am going to remember. Those who have a respect, but that respect isn't just, you know, I respect God. It has an action to it. Right along with it is meditate on his name. Literally, to think or plan on his name is the word there. To think about the name of God. And when we think of the name of God, what might come to our mind is the name Jehovah, in the Englishized version. What about that name? I've read places where what to do, what a Christian should do, which this really wasn't a Christian book, but author, but it was really a New Age idea, trying to mix the two. You can't mix cult with the Scripture. But they were trying to do that, and they said the thing to do is to sit down, just meditate on the name Jehovah over and over again. That's not what God means here. And that's not even how the phrase on his name is used in Scripture. When a person thinks of God's name, not taking God's name in vain, not taking and using anything or seeing things that he does in his name or doing things in his name, isn't about the letters or the characters that are used to put out his name. Kind of like the name Sean. When you think of the name Sean or pastor, you don't just think of a word, do you? You think of a person. When you think of, you know, the name of your spouse, you don't just think of a name, Dawn. Well, when you think of Dawn, you know, what do you think of? Well, you can think of the word Dawn, and I know it's got a D, a W, A, and W, and an N in it. So what, right? But if you see the word dawn, you think of something beautiful in the morning. I get to wake up to a beautiful dawn every morning. I bet you're all jealous. You look and you think of who that person is, don't you? You think of maybe something that they've done that you remember that was really nice. My wife likes to remind me once in a while of the nice things she did. We went out to eat, and then and after we went out to eat, she said, well, can we go to Barnes & Noble? You know what that means, spending money, right? So I said, but, you know, being the loving, wonderful husband I am, I said, sure. But she helped that along and said, remember those really nice shoes I got you for your anniversary? We remember things that people do for us. Sometimes we remember things that people have done to us, don't we? And you know, God doesn't forget those things either. But that's not our passage this morning. Our passage this morning is the fact that God remembers those who meditate, who fear Him, who have a reverence, have an awe for Him. And a person who meditates on His name, that is, who considers who God is, the things that He's done, the things that He can do. Think about what this might mean. It's not just thinking, well, I know that God is all powerful, but thinking about the significance of it as well. You might consider the mighty hand of God and how He gives you peace because you know that He will take care of you. You might consider the wisdom of God, how vast and fantastic it is, and the fact that He reveals it in His Word and in prayers, so you seek Him and have confidence that He will lead you the right way in life. You might consider the presence of God and how that He is always there to protect and provide His power for you. You see, it's not just thinking about who God is, but the significance even in your own life. Those whose name are found in this book, they not only knew God, but they feared God. They thought about God, and they made that not just, well, who God is and His attributes and excellence, but also His significance in His life, something we ought to do much more often. When we think of God here and He's remembering who these people are and who you are, and when God sees your name in His book, what do you think He thinks of you? When He writes down your name, what is He thinking of you? What's He going to do with these names? Why are these names in His book? Names are in His book in order to reward them. In verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And down in verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The point there isn't that we're all weighing 800 pounds. The point is that we're blessed by God, so that way we have plenty to eat. God blesses us this way. You got to think of the culture back then, where one of the curses that He put on His people was famine, where there was not much to eat. In fact, they would fight over whose child they would eat. You might recall some of those events that took place in the Scripture. He says here that they'll be blessed. In verse 3, you will trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So there'll be victory. When I look at here, I see, why does God remember them? Because He's going to take care of them. He's going to reward them. He's going to bless them and keep them from the danger and trouble that will come on this earth. We think of Him, it says here in verse 17, they shall be mine. You've seen little kids, they're in the nursery, and you're watching the little kids, and they have something that some other kid tries to touch, or you try to touch, and what do they say? Mine! Or, even better yet, you'll find that the kids are playing, and the one kid looks at what the other kid is playing with. And what does he say? He grabs hold of it and says, mine! It's a precious possession to him. He may not even be interested in it, but the other kid has it. He doesn't want that to happen, right? Mine. God takes hold of you and says, mine. He takes hold of you and treats you, says, as a jewel. What do you do with a jewel? You take a jewel and you put it in the... You put it away and either hidden or locked up somewhere so it cannot be stolen. You protect it. Then, once in a while, you take it out and you'll wear it someplace real nice. You wear it with your nice clothes and you put it on. If it's something that has been purchased for you, you wear it as something that tells other people, that shows them that you are well loved. Some people do that to show, you know, they can afford it. But you're the kind of people that say, this is something I wear because it shows how much my spouse loves me. It's something that's very precious that you would protect if somebody, you know, you keep it locked away otherwise. So that way the kids can't go outside and play with it in the dirt. You keep it so that way the burglars, the robbers won't come in and steal it because it's valuable. Even if it's not valuable by money, it's certainly by sentiment. And so you want to protect it. And it says here, that's the way God treats you. He remembers these people and He treats them with blessing and with protection. You that are sitting here, do you fear His name? Do you meditate on who He is, which gives you a greater sense of who He is, a greater understanding and a greater observation of what He's doing in your life? It's those people whose lives demonstrate that they love God, that He puts and writes and records, and He treats them with very special care. He gives them these blessings. He keeps them. We find scriptures telling us how that we are who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were once not a people, once people that He did not show mercy, but now you are the people of God, those who have obtained mercy. You see how God looks at you who have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, who remember who He is. Meditate on that. You consider who He is. You consider what He's done. And you do it so that you can bring glory to Him and honor and worship, which He's worthy of. It is those He says He will remember. If we were to look here and missed a few verses on purpose, you can see those who He does not have written in His book. Those He will not remember. You see there in chapter 4, verse 1, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the proud, yes, all those who wickedly will be stubble in the day which is coming. They shall burn up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch, But you who fear my name will not be like that. He says of the wicked that he would destroy. Verse 18, you see that he does this. In verse 18, he says that there will be discernment between the righteous and the wicked, between the one that serves God and those who do not. God remembers, and God will make apparent and obvious who serve him because of his blessing and his sparing from wrath, and those who he will not remember. That is, he will not take and bless, but rather show judgment because they did not fear God's name, because they did not want to have anything to do with him, because they did not want his mercy. What should we do as a result of this? What should we do? Verse 4 through 6, Malachi finishes his book here. It says, remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. For us as believers, it's remember the law of Christ. We need to keep our minds and remember him. God remembers those who fear him and who meditate on his name. Those who fear him and meditate on his name are going to be those who are going to follow what God says. Thus he says, using that same word, remember there, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Horeb and all of Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there's a time coming when there's going to be great dread, and before that great dread comes, there's somebody that's coming like Elijah, John the Baptist, we find out later. And what that person is going to do is to proclaim Christ's righteousness, God's righteousness. It's something that they could look forward to. To remember God's, to remember the law of Moses means not to say, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to be speeding while I'm speeding down the road. I'm not supposed to kill while I'm stabbing somebody to death. It's not that kind of remembering. It's remembering to that I am doing. And so that I am doing God's law. And if I'm doing God's law, it's obvious that I am one who he's going to remember. It's important here, I think, for us to see this, because remembering the law of Moses in the day after the captivity, and we have some insight into that. When in the Babylonian captivity, when the Jews were brought back to the land of Israel, and we see in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther what happened. They got after the people and they said, look, you're doing the exact same thing that happened, that you were doing before God judged you. Stop doing those things. The culture quickly decided it wanted to pick up what the rest of the world was doing. So remembering the law of Moses many times meant going against what everybody else was doing. You know, that kind of shows verse 18. It shows the difference between those who belong to Christ and those who don't. Because those who belong to Christ, those are the ones that are going to follow him even though the rest of the world isn't. They're the ones going to say, wait a minute, that is sin, while the rest of the world says, what are you talking about? We're supposed to love everybody. It's going to say, wait a minute, that kind of thing is not something that honors and pleases God. While the rest of the world says, what's wrong with you? Why won't you have a little fun? Remembering the law of Moses, or we should say the law of Christ, remembering what God tells us to do, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love one another in the same fashion as we would love our own, as we love our own selves. If I am following what God says here, it'll be clear to others who I belong to, and it will be an opportunity to share the gospel with them. They do so looking to Elijah's coming And we ought to follow God, remembering that one day He will reward us, even though we suffer whatever persecution we might suffer today. We continue to keep our heart founded and solid in God's Word. We keep our heart so that way we will do His work rather than seeing what the world's got, following what the world has to do, and not fearing His name, not meditating on who God is, not considering that He has called me to be holy as He is holy. Malachi shuts off the long period of time and recorded revelation of God. There's 400 years between the time of Malachi and the time of Jesus. 400 long years. God doesn't mean that God wasn't working or God wasn't revealing Himself and communicating, but as far as what He wanted recorded. And so He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, being God Himself. He became a man. He revealed who He was, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to follow Him, and told us that when we put our faith in Him, He will remember us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. This week I want you to be encouraged with the fact that God remembers you. I want you to be challenged so that way you ask yourself, what will He think of when He thinks of my name? When He remembers my name, what will He think of me? And I want to also encourage you with the fact that we need to live lives that honor Him as a demonstration of those who God remembers, and take the time to share with others that God can remember them too. The first and foremost thing they have to do is put their faith in Jesus Christ. So let's make the most of this passage as we consider how much God loves us, and that that having put our faith in Him, He remembers us. He knows what's happening. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And at the same time, remember that we ought to bring glory and honor to Him as His own children. Father, I thank You so much for what You've done for us. I thank You for how that You have looked upon us with mercy and sent Your Son. Again, I thank You for those men and women, those brave men and women, who would take time tomorrow to remember and pay tribute to their lives and to their families. Lord, I ask that You would help us, that we might keep in mind that You remember us. You've even written it down. And Father, I ask that You will help us, that we will live in a way that as You look at our name on that paper, that You will remember not just who we are, but what we've done to honor You. I ask that as our names come to Your mind, that it would be something that is a blessing and joy to You rather than a heartache. Father, may You find us faithful to You. May You find us faithful to serve You. I thank You for Your word today, which challenges us. And I ask that You help us, that as we go through today and this week, that we will use it to encourage us to do well for You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.